Good morning and welcome to the Vikes Unchained version of Vikings Territory Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Oberle from VikingsTerritory.com and at PurplePTSD.com. That's Mark Craig, senior writer. I'm the senior writer over here because I'm older than Mark. Mark's the NFL insider, and he's the Vikings guy over at Star Tribune and StarTribune.com. And hell's a poppin'. The past day of legalized tampering, whatever that means. Kwesi went wild, and the big news of the day is he said goodbye to Kirko Chains. The Vikings are unchained from Kirk Cousins after 6 years and one playoff win and one Achilles gone blown. So, Mark, what did you think? What did you think of that move? That is the huge. That's the huge story for Vikings over the past day, and it just keeps happening ever since then.
Yeah, I mean, you always talk about Kirk. You talk about talent, but you also, in any Kirk conversation, it's money, and it's just frankly, it's too much more money for to continue throwing down the rabbit hole. I wrote today kind of what's next for the Vikings. And I said, it's, one team couldn't live without giving Kirk $180 million over 4 years. The other team couldn't stomach giving him any more than 185. They've already given him over 6 years. So it's kind of like Atlanta is at that 2018 where the Vikings were like, oh my gosh, at that point, the Vikings, that was the first time they ever given any team had ever given a veteran a multi-year guaranteed deal. That was $84 million. This is now $100 million guaranteed.
It's 62 mil in the first year, and it's he has a no trade clause. 62.5 million the first year.
Wow. Yeah, and then there's roster bonuses. I was talking with some people at work or messaging that I said, I want to put Mike McCartney in the Hall of Fame and Kirk's pen in the Hall of Fame because, we're talking about a guy who's going to be turning 36 later this summer and is coming off an Achilles and is still good enough, talented enough, has the talented arm enough and the potential as if we're talking about a 25-year-old guy to get someone like Atlanta to say, hey, this is the guy that we feel can win a bad division, the NFC South, and can take us on. They weren't looking at, well, he can get us, two more years to get to another quarterback. Their love for him, their belief in him is unlimited right now to the point where I think they still, they're going to be paying him when he's 39 on the doorstep of 40 and giving him roster bonuses when he's getting ready to turn 39, stuff like that. And it was just, it's a no brainer for Kirk and it's a no brainer for the Vikings. It's just frankly a no brainer because it was too much money. And if you took the money out, Kirk's your guy.
Yeah.
When you factor in this kind of money, he's not your guy. And frankly, it makes it's an easy decision for the Vikings. And it's so easy that I'm kind of wondering who are the Falcons competing against? Were they competing against like these comments KOC and Kwesi saying we love the guy and Kirk saying, well, I love it here and I love the Vikings and I hope I get to come back and my kids are in school. Did they fall for all that? Because I don't think they needed to give him this much, but they
great point
did. So, I want to say it's a little bit of a relief for the Vikings because while Kirk has potential, other guys have potential. They didn't need Dan Marino last year to win the Bengals game, the Bears game, the Lions game. They just needed some sort of competence at quarterback to get by. So if you build the rest of your roster, you get some sort of competence, you can win games. You can get into playoffs.
That's a great point. Who are you going against? I mean, for, 100, I just want to read these numbers. 4 years, 180 million, 50 million signing bonus, 100 million fully guaranteed. You get 60.25 the first year with a no trade clause. As I said, he should be able to put a new irrigation system in at his golf course he has there in Michigan. Who are they competing against? All right, I mean, all of a sudden they kind of feel like Atlanta kind of feels like us at the end of the Herschel Walker trade, you know, thinking, oh, we got one piece we need to put us over the hump. You know, they do have a good roster down there in Atlanta. They've got a great running game. They've got they've got some decent receivers, I believe. They've got some things to build around, but it's like, does it say more about the dearth of quarterbacks at that level, or that just, or is he just be the only one? He's firing heads and tails above anybody else who is out there in free agency that they paid so much for him.
He's exactly where he was in 2018. He was, you know, coming off of, you know, Washington didn't make the playoffs in 2017. The Vikings went to the NFC Championship game, and, you know, I'm not saying that they should have brought Case Keenum back, but here was, that was the, you know, Kirk Cousins at that point was still young, and he was, you know, no quarterback in that position had ever really gotten to free agency in his prime like that. So the excitement for the Vikings was to go get that, secure that. And here we are 6 years later. It's a testament to Kirk, I guess, his for a long time durability. You know, he lost that durability tag last year, but still has that potential. It's still there.
Potential.
His potential is still there to the point where, you know, someone is saying, hey, you know, they feel the same way that the Vikings did. And, or at least I should say, not all the Vikings felt like that way in 2018. Kirk, a certain head coach, a defensive minded head coach, didn't feel that way about getting Kirk Cousins in 2018. And I also said that it's funny that the Vikings yesterday decided Kirk Cousins cost too much money. They went out and immediately signed three defenders for their front seven, and they want to build the running game with, you know, a running back and a stronger, you know, blocking, and they want to get a defensive lineman, and they're talking about needing maybe one or two cornerbacks. I said, Zim lives, because that's Mike Zimmer. We'll
get to the defense in the next segment for sure.
But I'm just saying that day was, you know, we need a better running game. We need a better defense. We need
they're filling holes. Yeah, that they needed to do.
So it's, you know, while Atlanta may very well go on and win it all with Kirk Cousins, I'll believe it when I see it. But, you know, the Vikings certainly gave it everything that they could possibly give to it. They 108. He's made more money by far than anybody in the history of the Vikings has ever made. Had a 6-year run and two playoff appearances out of 6 years. So 4 years ends without him in the playoffs in a league where, yes, frankly, you don't have to be great to get in the playoffs. And only one playoff win, 1-3.
And they went to the NFC title game the year before he got here, didn't they?
Yeah, and I, you know, it's you don't want to rip on Kirk when it just comes to Kirk wasn't to blame for all those missed, you know,
right,
entirely for all those seasons. But whenever you're talking about what he's now getting, you know, what he got and what he's getting now, now it's up to $45 million average a year. Which, you know, we thought maybe the Vikings could squeak by and give him 2 years, $40 million average, and hopefully he'd come back. Well, you know, you're talking about 4 years at averaging $45 million, most of that guaranteed. You know, it's the Vikings were paying for a guy that could lift you above all those things, lift you above injuries, lift you above maybe a defense not being the greatest. But too many times, for a guy that's making that kind of money, there were a lot of three and outs. There were a lot of finishes to games where you're like, you know, is that it? Is that
there's a playoff game that he
comebacks? There were great drives at the end of last year, but they still had a whole playoff game and lost. So it just didn't add up.
He threw short of the sticks on 4th and 9 to Hockenson against the Giants in the playoffs. That still burns in many Vikings fans' memories. But think about that contract. I mean, the Vikings reportedly had 2 years and less than $40 million a year as on the table. And that's clearly, that, you know, I'm sure they would have negotiated if he would have went out and found something, came back. But Atlanta just blew it out of the water. You know, it made it so easy for the Vikings that, you know, I heard a stat yesterday, when you couple everything Cousins has made with the Vikings and maybe even in Washington, plus this contract, he'll have like over $400 million playing quarterback in the NFL. Red McCombs bought the Vikings back in the day for $220 million. My God, the numbers are all crazy.
When the cap's going up more and more, so you're going to see more and more of this. I would think this is Kirk's last contract. Maybe there's a renegotiation at some point to, I don't know. I give the guy credit. He's been a great businessman, and I never once believed any of the, hey, Kirk wants to be here. Let's give Vikings a discount. And I believe that he wanted to be here, but I didn't believe that would influence his financial decision. It's
right.
The Vikings needed to step up. And this is one of those where, I personally, no matter what happens going forward, whether the Vikings, go 0-17 and Kirk wins 14 games and they go on and they do well, I'm still going to say that this is something I am not going to fall Kwesi and the Vikings for making this decision.
You and I have talked for the past how many years on this podcast about Kirk, and we don't always see eye to eye and everything, but I think we did on him. We always kind of said this is who Kirk is. He's very accurate. He's got a decent arm strength. He knows the game. We saw last summer he grinds to work at the game to get better, to stay in shape and do well. He does all that. But when push comes to shove and the pressure gets heavy on him, I'm not going to say he folds, but he doesn't make you feel like Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes, who they're going to pull out of that pressure and just find the guy that's open and make the play. What you got from Kirk is throwing behind the sticks on 4th and 9 to save your season in the playoffs against the Giants. You have Kirk dumping down and checking off, or else taking a sack. He could run, but he didn't have the mobility. So I guess my point is, what we saw in Kirk is what he is. I think we saw his ceiling. And did he have a good year last year before he got injured? Yes. Did he have a great year the year before? Yes. I will trade nothing for that 13-4 year, even though it ended in a terrible playoff loss. 13-4, that regular season was one of the best as a Vikings fan. And just like I look back on 2009 with Favre as one of my favorite seasons, I will look on that one as well. But his legacy is one, as you said, two playoff appearances and one win. And it's just not enough when you're getting paid this kind of money, and you certainly can't pay $62.5 million a year for that.
No, and this is what makes Kirk such a fascinating topic. And frankly, we're going to lose a lot of airtime trying to the Rubik's Cube that was Kirk Cousins and trying to get everything to line up and talking about it forever is gone. But for me, it's just he wasn't that's not who he was, but consistently he was not good enough. There were times where he was fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, the guy orchestrated the greatest comeback point wise in NFL history. The guy had 11, one score wins, where set a record for comeback wins in 2022. I personally, that season is so marred by what happened with the Giants, but I agree. For Vikings fans, that was a fun year to kind of watch him come back. And
it really was Buffalo game.
So it was. But it just how it ended was just wow. That's kind of like Kirk in a nutshell. It's just like, the high of, this is the potential of Kirk.
And right.
But, I will say that for a guy that was making that much money, there were too many times, like the Star Tribune has an army of people that covers the game every Sunday, and especially the home games. And there were just so many times through those 6 years where, I'm not writing the lead column. I'm not writing the game story. I'm not writing the sidebar. I'm writing my own things that a lot of times are beneath the shouting headline or whatever. And there were so many times where the defense was the lead column or the game story, and trickled in was me writing about, I know the defense wasn't great, but did you look at the three and outs that were between these meltdowns, or the two three and outs that were or maybe the three and out that was the 32nd three and out that was sandwiched between the two big drives. You know, the
defense, so many times
he wasn't helping. I mean, I guess there's I've heard someone make this comparison to different things in life, and you know, you're a thermometer or you're a thermostat. And Kirk was a thermometer. He's like, whatever the team was, that's what Kirk was, it seems. And a lot of times, and too many times. And the thermometer is the, you know, the guys that I suppose that are in that category financially, where they, you know, they, if you got a left tackle who's Charlie Johnson and you're weight Peyton Manning, it doesn't matter because you're Peyton Manning. Or you're, I
mean, they're a thermostat because they can turn it up and
they can dictate maybe cover holes. Not now, Kirk's never gonna be Aaron Rodgers, or shouldn't be compared to Aaron Rodgers. But financially, when you start getting the money that these guys are getting, you know, you almost have to compare them to guys that are able to overcome a bad offensive line or overcome a you know, a defense that isn't extraordinary. And he just didn't do that consistently enough to warrant this kind of money.
So is Sam Darnold going to do it consistently enough?
Is Sam Darnold's 1 year, $10 million. 1 year, $10 million. Yeah, if you don't like him, see it, Sam. This is not the guy that they're bringing in to develop as their future quarterback, right. I have to believe. This, you know, now it's up to Kwesi. It's up to Kwesi and O'Connell to identify a quarterback. You may not be able to come out with the number one quarterback on your board because Chicago earned that right by taking, you know, Carolina's number one pick and then having Carolina tank.
Yeah. Or,
you know, so, but you can't say, well, you know, there just wasn't a guy there. I think now is when you make the decision. If it's McCarthy and you can take him at 11, take him at 11. Or if you have to go up to this 8 or whatever, do what you need to do. Get your quarterback of the future. Sam Darnold's on your books. And Kirk Cousins now is on your books for one more year. And that's it. And then you get a fresh. What's that?
And Mullins
Mullins is like 2.2, I think. I believe Mullins only has like, you know, $400,000 guaranteed. If I'm remembering correctly, Nick Mullins is, I mean, he may get released before the end of this podcast.
Yeah.
He's just the guy that he had his opportunity, had his chance. I sort of joke that Sam Darnold is Nick Mullins if Nick Mullins was tall and had an NFL arm. you know, but at least there is some arm talent with Sam Darnold that O'Connell can work with. They're just, you know, Nick Mullins, you know, hats off. Nick made it a long ways with the, you know, terrible decision-making and not much of an arm. So
yeah,
he may know your offense. He may have helped Kirk on Netflix to learn the offense, but, you know, he's got to be able to execute to stay on my team.
You know, I'm so happy that the Vikings didn't get into the Justin Fields thing that's going on. You know, the market is clearly softened for him, and I just did not want them to give up any draft capital that they're going to need when they start throwing the farm at somebody to move up to get one of these quarterbacks. So it's like, I'm glad they never even considered that, which would have been an interesting deal. But I think Sam Darnold is more of a pocket passer that KOC will enjoy work with, and knows he's young, he can move a little bit, but he's just a bridge. And then you had some of those bridges going away. I mean, first you get Baker Mayfield, who's no longer considered a bridge since he's making like $30 million a year. And Russell Wilson went to the Steelers. That would have been the nice price there, but you know, even that would have been some issues. There's a guy I don't know. Things just fell apart out there in Denver for him. And then Jacoby Brissett goes to the Patriots. They got a bridge quarterback, so they're going to hang on to theirs. While I'm not excited about Sam Darnold, I think this was the right move. I think this is, you know, to get you. And someone, I saw someone say, speculating that he's the kind of guy that can maybe help bring along this young kid, whoever they draft, Sam Darnold can. So I don't know. I think it's a good move. I think it will work for the Vikings. I'm not expecting them to win the division next year just yet, but boy, if you, they keep putting this defense together, like I think they're doing, we'll talk about that in the next segment. You know, they're going to play tough next year.
No matter yeah, I mean, who's Justin Fields is a different animal completely, different category completely. So, I think Justin Fields, if you go down that path, first of all, I wouldn't see the Bears making a trade with the Vikings on that. Kwesi has proven that you do trade within the division, but I don't know what advantage it would be for the Bears to put him in their division that. I just don't see that. But if you're looking at Justin Fields, you're looking at Justin Fields would be, you're thinking that the Bears screwed him up so bad, you're viewing him as a rookie draft pick, and he's your rookie draft pick, then you develop him that way. Sam Darnold has proven that he's probably never going to be a starter in the NFL. And if he does have a year where you're like, holy crap, Sam Darnold really turned it around. O'Connell, you know, really worked with him. O'Connell, you know, saved his career. Then you're like, okay, Kirk's off your books, and you maybe you do some sort of extension with him and work with this rookie another year. That you're going to draft.
Right, right.
There's nothing wrong with it. Green Bay has proven it twice in the past 30 years that, you know, it's okay for a guy to sit for not only 1 year, but a couple years or a few years. So, yeah, I don't know that Sam Darnold was any better than going out and getting Flacco for a year, or he's younger. I mean, that's nice. Or a Tannehill for – I kind of look at all those guys the same.
Yeah.
Give me a guy that's 1 year – and no more than $10, $12 million. You know, last year, Baker Mayfield was the perfect one. One year, $4 million.
Right.
Me, the ultimate would have been Russell Wilson, because you get him for 1 year for the minimum 1.2, because, you know, George Payton out in Denver is paying the rest of the – George Payton owed him $39 million and minus whatever anyone else would give him. Well, if you're, you know – Russell Wilson enjoys going to Pittsburgh and saying, I will take the least amount you can give me, because I want Denver, who screwed everything up with a bad coach and a bad situation, I want them to have to pay me. I mean, think about this. Pittsburgh has a game in Denver this year. And what if the Steelers go in and they're, you know, they have a good record, Denver's lousy, and Russell Wilson comes in and lights it up? I mean, it's I love George Payton. We enjoyed talking to George over the years. We didn't get to talk to him a whole lot, but he has to be on one of the hottest seats in the NFL.
Yeah, man. I would agree with you.
And Mark, you think hired a lousy coach, and then they screwed up Russell Wilson, and now they're on the hook for $85 million dead cap money.
Wow.
Sean Payton has washed his hands of that situation, so it's going to be on George to come up with something else that King Sean Payton can work with.
Do you think 10 million is a good number or too much for Sam Darnold?
I think that's what you got to pay for someone like that. You know, that puts their total, between Key and Kirk, well, and, you know, Nick Mullins, I would imagine, leaves. It probably puts their total quarterback cap number in that, you know, close to 40, you know, when it's all said and done. That's just what you got. I mean, this is the, you know, they're finishing digesting Kirk, his contract, but at least it's just for 1 year. And, you know, I feel like Darnold is a guy that, you know, although O'Connell, to me, let the team, or was disappointing that he didn't work with Dobbs more when he had him, and Dobbs had that quick start and then just disappeared. But I do feel like with an offseason to work with Darnold, you know, maybe – I'm not going to say he's going to work any magic with Sam Darnold, because Sam Darnold makes a lot of turnovers, a lot of mistakes. He's never really grasped it the way that he should have as number three overall pick. But there's something to work there, as opposed to Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. And there's something there. But, yeah, I would say that's $10 million is probably the market value on something like that.
As we found out last year, turnovers are the perfect recipe if you want to tank and not be called a tanker. Because if you give up a lot of turnovers, you can lose a lot of ball games. So.
And frankly, Kirk had, I believe, 8 or 9 turnovers in 7 or 8 games. And
that's true. That's true.
With Kirk, it was always something like well, you know, like the throw at the end of the Chargers game. You know, it's like, well, should TJ have caught that ball? But it was thrown a little inside. It's like, it was always this like little bit of out for Kirk on, you know, the ball gets knocked out of his hands by the right guard. Well, is it, should Kirk have held on to, you know, just kind of, you know, so he was making a lot of turnovers, even though he was having a good year statistically.
Yeah. Well, you know, that you spoke of that revenge game with Russell Wilson in Denver. Well, Vikings may have one of those, hopefully, next season as well. We'll talk about that in the next segment. So come on back and to Vikings Territory Breakdown, and we'll chat about it then. All right, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast. Hold it a second. I'm going to mark. I got to do this. It's bugging me. And we'll start again. Okay. No, it didn't help. I'm trying to get rid of that glare. All right, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown podcast with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. Mark, we were talking last segment about the whole Kirk scenario, and I put that Vikings play Atlanta this year. So Atlanta's coming to and Kirk are coming to back to U.S. Bank. So that'll be an interesting game for him. And maybe the Vikings might have a player that can do a revenge game as well. And one Aaron Jones, who signed, former Packers running back, who signed for 1 year for $7 million to fill that hole in the offense when they let Alexander Mattison go. I mean, when that happened yesterday, the Packers signed Josh Jacobs, or they're going to sign him. All this stuff is – they're not signed yet, but they reported to do so. I thought, boy, they got to get rid of what are they going to do with Aaron Jones? And then he was cut. And I said, I wouldn't mind seeing him in purple, even though I'm not a big proponent of hiring all these or buying all these Packers. But that thing happened quick and seems decisive. And it, you know, if that guy can stay healthy, that's an upgrade at running back, wouldn't you say? Even though he's 30 years old.
Well, he's 29, right? Is he going to be 30 soon?
He's going to be 30. Yeah, he's going to be 30.
I'm not sure where to land on this one. I'm surprised that an analytics guy would take a running back of this age with some injury problems in recent years. And he's getting $7 million for the year, which is pretty high for a running back. That's, you know, later in his career. But I do like him as a player. It's one of those, which is a lot of, seems to be a lot with what Kwesi does in the offseason. If he stays healthy, you know, Davenport was a big, if he stays healthy, you know, which he didn't, was one of the worst signings, was to me the worst signing in free agency last year. So, yeah, if he stays healthy, I think what part of what will help him stay healthy is I still think that they believe that Ty Chandler is a guy that can split reps.
Yep.
So Aaron Jones certainly is versatile. You know, he can catch the ball. He can run. He's a million times more instinctive than Alexander Mattison. And if he can split with Ty Chandler and maybe bring the because he's got, I think, close to 1,500 touches in his career. So that's a lot of tread on the tire for a guy that's that age. So it could work out. You know, I like, you know, them pairing the two of them together and see if that works, but not ready to rip it. Or I'm a little skeptical because of it is $7 million and his age, but I'm not putting it on the terrible pile right now.
You know, I look at those. I mean, in Green Bay, Aaron Jones was always, you know, you could catch the ball and he could have some breakaway runs. And then you had A.J. Dillon, who would get you your tough yards up the middle. Well, the Vikings got rid of Madison, who did that, who actually supposedly specialized in that. And now I have two backs, the top two backs, Jones and Chandler, who are similar in that they're not as big and not as strong maybe between the tackles as they are, you know, getting free. So I don't know. Maybe they still have to find someone that can get those third and ones and those fourth and ones that they need. Or maybe Sam Darnold can do the tush push that Kirk couldn't do. Yeah. I don't know. But
can Brandon Powell push him a little farther than
I, you know, so when you look at it that way, they don't have that guy per se. I don't know. Is this, it is, now that you're speaking, I'm a little more skeptical too about it, but I would just, I'm hoping that he was injured so much and he split time so much that maybe he's, got some more tread on the tire, but I guess the number of carries says what it is.
And then emotion, I mean, emotion too can carry a long way. We've seen a lot of Packers come over here and that
yeah,
you know, look at Za'Darius Smith in that first game coming out of the chute a couple years ago. Yeah. So you're gonna see a guy, a motivated guy. It just matter whether he can stay healthy, and that's one of those you just have no idea. I guess if right. he gets hurt, then you're like, you should have seen that coming. But this is not quite to the extent of Davenport, which I thought there were a million red flags on Davenport.
Yeah.
This one is just sort of like, let's wait and see. And as far as like them not having, first of all, I wouldn't put Madison in Dylan's category when
no. it came
to power. No. That was a great 1-2. And whenever they had it going, the Packers. In fact, there was one game a year or 2 years ago where the Vikings won, and it was like, did you forget about, you know, the fact that you had a great running pack and you had two running backs and
right.
they didn't run the ball. I think it might have been that opener that I was talking about. They just kind of fell into the Vikings trap. But, you know, we're not done yet. Like someone, you know, tweeted that it was in a response to something that I had. It was like, oh, well, now they don't have anybody. And this was yesterday afternoon. They don't have anybody that can throw the ball now. It's like, well, they're not playing a game on Sunday. They did say it's not over. They got 6 months until kickoff.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there's another. He wouldn't be expensive if there's another running back that's added to the room. Right. Now you could say, you know, people say, oh, Derrick Henry's out there. Well, Derrick Henry. Who knows how much he has left, but
right. you're talking
about, that's basically a defensive end that can run the ball, but man, he's got a lot of, he's a big name, but he's 30. He's got a lot of touches.
Yeah. He was their main guy of their offense for years. It also was hand the ball to Henry. So, you know, he's got a lot.
If you want to get those third and ones and fourth and ones more often, I would let's get some, you know, NFL run blocking caliber guards on this team, you know, once and for all.
CJ Ham still on the team.
I run CJ Ham up the middle.
There you go. Well, you know, so those are pretty high profile changes for the Vikings, getting a new quarterback and signing Aaron Jones. But on the defensive side, I was actually really pleased with what was going on there. They, as you mentioned earlier, right after. You know, right at the same time it was coming out that Cousins was gone, the Vikings started picking up players. They grabbed Jonathan Greenard from the Texans, a 4-year, $76 million deal. Now that's a commitment. And they grabbed Dolphins linebacker Andrew Van Ginkle, who was 2 years for $20 million, who was a part of Brian Flores' first draft when he was head coach at Miami. So he knows him. And so you got to feel like he's happy. And Minnesota native Eden Prairie, former Gopher linebacker Blake Cashman came to the Vikings for a 3-year deal worth of $25.5 million. Greenard is an edge rusher. Does that signal that Danielle Hunter is gone, or do you think they're still trying to? He hasn't been at this point right now. He hasn't signed with anybody. Do you think they're still trying to fit him in under the cap? Boy, would that be something else? That would be a major improvement on that defense.
Yeah, I think that signals that Danielle's moving on. I never really felt that Danielle wanted to come back.
Right.
We will see. I mean, Danielle's going to test the market, and if Danielle doesn't, you know, I mean, to me, it signals that Danielle is gone, but I wouldn't rule it out entirely. I guess that guy's 26 years old. You know, he had 12 and a half sacks last year.
Right.
Each one of those guys you mentioned, they do have some injury history. I guess all NFL players are going to have injury histories, but
that's right.
They're all, you know, 28 or younger. Cashman is a guy that had some injury problems as early in his career. I think he And they're all kind of like, you know, third. I think the guy from Houston, Greinert is,
Greinert. I don't know how to say it. You
know, guys that, you know, you got a little concerned about injuries, but then again, you know, I do like that Van Ginkle is an edge rusher as well, an outside linebacker. But I like that he's a Flores guy, that Flores, you know, likes him, and based on his skills, that Flores can use him different ways. They need to get more guys that Flores can use.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be number. They don't have to be first round draft picks for Flores to be able to take them and use them different ways that really help. And I think what Flores really needs here at some point, which could be the draft, it could be the draft, could be free agency, or it could be both, as he needs a corners to play that he can trust, that he can use. Because once a guy like him, once a creative guy like that gets corners that he can trust, then it opens up so much more that he can do. And that's probably what they're definitely going to be looking at. I still think they need defensive linemen. So, these guys all have something to really like, especially, you know, I like, you know, a guy coming off 12 and a half sacks, that's 26 years old.
Right.
You know, I doubt that Daniil comes. You know, I expect Daniil to be going somewhere else.
Why haven't we heard about him? Because, you know, clearly Greinert looks like the replacement, a younger replacement for Daniil. At least you're hoping so. But, boy, I would have think he would have been grabbed up, or at least there'd been linked to somebody. I haven't heard peep from him about him in the whole day going, day and a half.
Well, my guess is that, you know, Daniil's viewing this as his one shot at free agency. Daniil signed a contract that got, as we've talked about a million times, in 2018 that was outdated immediately. He's been chasing that contract year by year, every year since. He's 28, 29.
He's 29, I believe, yeah.
And he, you know, he's got one crack at, you only get one crack at the biggest deal of your career, coming off a career high 16 and a half sacks. I'm guessing that he has, you know, he's wanting more out of, if there's one team that's identified that they want him, he's wanting more out of them. Or there could be two teams or two or three teams that want him, and he's, you know, his people are bouncing numbers off to try and get it as high as they can. And yeah, I think for like Kirk, I think whatever number it ends up being, it's going to be like the Vikings are going to be like, love the player, hate the contract, best wishes.
Right. Right. Yeah, it would be tough to bring him back, because then we still got JJ looming, and they're going to have to save some scratch for him, because if he gets disgruntled and wants to leave or for any reason, now that his security blanket Kirk is gone, that would be devastating to this team. We got to have him come back. Something I missed immediately or this morning, and you sent me over the news of Vikings are going to sign kicker John Parker Romo, a guy who hasn't kicked in an NFL game yet. He was undrafted in 2022, spent time with the Bears, Lions, and Saints, and kicked for the XFL in San Antonio. Not the marquee signing you were looking for, but, you know, thankfully the Vikings have had some of those. But it's a good thing they're bringing in some competition for Greg Joseph. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, I was thinking about last week's thing. You know, the guy they need to sign is John Parker Romo. But we didn't have enough time to include that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, whenever I saw someone on our inner office messaging system mentioned that they signed John Parker Romo. And I was going to type it, but I actually went to Google first and said,
Tony's brother.
I was going to say, who the hell is John Parker Romo? So that to me signals the fact that he hasn't kicked. And he also, I think Gary Zonner, or there was some sort of competition recently where you know, this former special teams guru has a kicking contest, and this guy might have won that, I believe. He's undrafted in 2022. I think he was all XFL, Joe, for as a place kicker. To me, this is I don't see them giving up on Joseph. I see this as a, this is the guy who's going to compete with Joseph. And by the way, Greg, whatever we're offering, you better sign it because there's no negotiation. You know, either you sign it, whatever they're putting right in front of them, or you go on, because this is clearly a shot across the bow for Joseph and could be the next kicker. But I think it's right now it's more of a guy to bring in and challenge Joseph.
I think you're right. And they're really not going to need Joseph, because with Darnold in there, they're going to be doing tush pushes on fourth down all the time. You don't need a place kicker. You just need somebody. And that would change the kicking rules. What do we need this guy for? You know,
just need a bigger receiver. Maybe Larry Fitzgerald will come out of retirement, and he's big enough, and was a great run blocking receiver in addition to being a great pass catching receiver. He could push Darnold.
Did he intimate that was a consideration when you talked to him for the Minnesota Golfer story you're doing on him?
To come back and be the tush pusher.
Is that a scoop for us here, Mark? Come on, you never told me that.
He only wants $181 million guaranteed over 4 years.
Okay, well, so let me ask you, you know, that was all day 1.5, what we've talked about so far. You know, and in fact, you can't even sign these people yet. There probably is physicals involved and whatever. But who else should the Vikings try to be pursuing, or at least what position here yet in this free agency period? I mean, in order for them to make this draft effective, they've really got to do a push here, and they have done one so far. I'm very happy to hear that the Vikings are in on day one, grabbing some of these people before someone else can come and scoop them away. But are there other, you said defensive linemen you'd like to see him go after, and a corner. There's been rumors on the internet that they were trying to trade for Snead from KC, but they would never let him go, would they?
Well, I don't think so. They franchise tagged him. He's at $19 million. Whatever you would trade for him, and then you have to give him a big contract. I don't think that would happen. And then it's funny you mentioned the physicals. I have to believe that they, like Van Ginkle, for example, he had a foot injury at the end of the last game of last year, missed the Dolphins playoff game. So, you know, I don't know the severity of that injury. He had to go on injured reserve because it was the end of the year. But there is a possibility that he gets here and his foot is not in condition and they don't sign. So it is pending. All this stuff we're talking about is pending physicals. And that's a big one whenever a guy just had a foot injury that, you know, that recent. But as far as, you know, I think they're looking at, you know, defensive linemen. You know, they just released Dean Lowry and William Cuenco this morning. So, you know, Lowry's a guy that saves you $4 million. You know, Lowry was a signing last year that was like, well, it doesn't do much, doesn't really excite me too much. And then he never did anything to raise the level of excitement from there. Mm-hmm. So he was an invisible player. I like him. But he just didn't bring anything that was any kind of juice to the table, I don't think. And so getting rid of him saves you $4 million. I don't think any of it was guaranteed. So fresh cut there. But they need defensive linemen. They don't have enough right now. So my feeling is that's probably the next area.
That's a good point.
One intriguing guy is the 49ers, the real tall tackle, Eric Armistead, who got released by the 49ers. I think he might be up 30, he's in his 30s, but you know, he's a versatile guy that can be an interior, you know, rusher, which I think would really help him. But someone like that, and then I keep thinking that I don't know if they're going to re-sign Dalton Risner. Or go with a. Maybe spend a little bit more money on a guard now and get I think maybe some of the top guards have already been taken. But getting some more force and some more strength and some more physical ability in the interior offensive line would go a huge way toward fixing this running game, I think.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's a lot. That's a, you know, we've got some more guys to talk to. The Vikings did make some more signings of their own players and some others let go. So we'll touch on those in the next segment. So come on back to Vikings Territory Breakdown. Okay, folks, welcome back to Vikings Territory Breakdown with Mark Craig from the Star Tribune. And Mark, the Vikings re-signed their two of their backup tight ends, Nick Muse and Johnny Munt. They probably are pretty concerned locking those guys in to that TJ Hockenson might not be ready for the start of the year for them. So they need to get some depth at the tight end. So they also have Josh Oliver too. So they have four tight ends there. But what did you think of that, those signings, of re-signing those guys?
Not much, I guess. although Johnny Munt was, you know, he was crowned by KOC as the best number three tight end in the league.
Yes, he was.
It was kind of funny. Like, that was just the timing of, you know, I don't know how these things all fall together, but when everything else is breaking loose on the eve of training camp, of the this signing period, Johnny Munt was the first like announcement. It was like, yes, we got him. But, you know, how about that? You throw that, those cards down on the table and say, match that, Atlanta.
Yeah, they went, and soon they go to the war room and they're all going, yes, high five, we got Johnny Munt.
I mean, Johnny Munt's a good player and he's a good backup, but I don't want to see Johnny Munt on a big play in the red zone. I've seen enough of that stuff.
Yeah, I know it. And it's so often, it's like, you know, in fact, because I had Hockenson on my fantasy team, and every time I see it, Munt, what's he doing out there?
Well, it surprises everyone, including Johnny Munt. It surprises everybody in the building, including the man that's trying to catch the ball.
Yes, they've got the tight end room nailed back together. They probably
and Nick Muse. I like Nick Muse. I think he's, you know, he's not a starter, but he's a good special teams player. He's got talent at tight end. I mean, I don't know where TJ is going to be at the beginning of this, but he's probably not going to do much in training camp, and who knows if he misses a few games. I'm not real sure what the timetable is. These tight ends are so quick anymore that you just expect the guy to blow out his knee and be ready, you know, bang, bang, immediately.
Right. The Vikings re-signed a couple of their offensive linemen, Blake Brendel and David Quisenberry. Mark Brendel got 3 years for $9.5 million and $4.75 of a guaranteed $2 million signing bonus. What do you think of that contract? If they got bigger plans for him, or is there some dissatisfaction with Brian O'Neill after coming off his Achilles last year? I don't know. What are your thoughts there on?
I think Brandon's a guy they like at guard now, and he's a guy that can play guard. He can play tackle as well, and I think they experimented him with him a little bit at center. You know, he's a backup, you know, with the potential to compete with, depending on how the, you know, it's another one of those where I don't know if Reisner wants more money or if they're looking at other, I would be looking at a lot of guards. I'd be looking at that. To me is such a weak area, and Ingram could be better. You know, Reisner, as good as he was coming in, I think stabilizing a little bit that position. They needed something a little better than him, and they needed something a little better than Ezra Cleveland, who they traded after they, you know, got Reisner in there.
And he signed into his contract.
It just feels like you need and it's been so long since this team has had a powerful guard that can really just, you know, take a guy and move him out of the way.
Yeah. And,
you know, I would be looking at, you know, Brandel is a guy that you can trust as depth. Quisenberry is an underrated guy that you can, you know, I mean, with, you know, the way the game is now and concussions and guys taking days and weeks off where they didn't take them off like they used to. You know, Quisenberry has proven that he can hold his own when he goes in there at tackle, as a swing tackle. So I think he's, you know, one of those necessary signing moves. They're kind of easy to get out of the way, I think, because those guys aren't asking for a lot and the team's not offering a lot. And they go, yeah, okay, here we go. So, you know, I still feel like that offensive line needs another big hit on that line.
Some of the players we lost, you mentioned Marcus Davenport. He goes to the Lions, and I don't wish ill on a player, but I'll be curious to see how much playing time he gets over there in Detroit. You mentioned Dean Lowry, Jordan Hicks goes to Cleveland, your old stomping grounds. And this last guy, I'm not even going to say his name because I've never said it before, and I have no idea how to say it. William Quenkukiu, or I don't even know.
Did he go somewhere?
Oh, you sent him to me. Yeah, you said that he had. Yeah, the Vikings.
Well, they released him. I don't know if he went somewhere, but I'm not sure if he's a. There was one guy it was like talking to a kid who had, on Christmas morning, it was his first active game and he made a tackle on special teams and he wasn't born in the U.S. I don't know if that's a guy or not, but it was fun after one of the Vikings games talking to that guy. But no, it's Lowry and Quenko leaving. They don't have many guys signed. Because the nose tackle, Tonga is a free agent.
Do they take a defensive lineman at 11 and then grab one of the remainder quarterbacks with their second round pick?
Well, I don't know that they take a defensive lineman for their 3-4 if they take a tackle, defensive tackle at that point, possibly. Yeah. If nothing can be solved at the quarterback position, and you can't go up or you can't go back or whatever, and you sit there, a top defensive guy will be potentially the top guy could be there. And I would imagine that that's when they would go, because they're not done with edge rusher. Just because they signed those two guys, they still need more edge rushers. That was one of the areas, I even Kwesi admitted it, in his talk at the combine about how he sort of let the team down with not having enough depth at that position. It also hurt that he took a chance on a Davenport. And Davenport, they get out from underneath that Davenport, or frankly, re-signing him was not even a consideration. But
right,
you think that possibly going to Detroit for a year, I think it's 1 year, $6.5 million, that he is motivated to to prove the Vikings wrong or prove the NFL wrong or prove himself wrong. But I just don't – my gut instinct about that guy and getting to know him a little bit, I don't know if that he has that bag, that club in the bag. I just don't know that football is that important to him. I mean, I think whenever he's really – the few times when he's been healthy and really motivated, you can see why people keep giving him a chance, but he just – it's not there enough. And the Vikings have like $6.5 million dead money on him, which is you want to try and avoid dead money at all costs, especially when you get a guy only played 90 snaps for you or whatever.
That seems like I don't even know if he played that. I don't remember seeing him in there for that many. But
and then Hicks going to Cleveland. Now Hicks is a guy you would like. He's a good leader. He still think he has something left in the tank. I think the Browns are giving him 2 years. I want to say $8 to $10 million.
$4 million a piece for him. Yeah.
So getting Cashman, you're going younger. I don't have a problem with that if Cashman stays healthy. Going younger at that front seven. And then now they got to add some defensive linemen up ahead of them. But Hicks will be missed, I think, just from a calming standpoint. He'll be missed by the media. But I think he's got a year. I thought the Browns overpaid for Tomlinson and Zadarius last year, and they did pretty well for him. So Hicks might do well for him as well.
Yeah, they brought Zadarius back again this year, and they're keeping their defense intact, which is monsters over there. And this just helps. Although Hicks is coming off that quad injury too, so you don't know how much he has left, but great guy. I was bummed he was going to go on, but when you see what they're signing, that it makes sense for him to go somewhere else. You look around at, you get excited about what the Vikings are doing, at least I do. And you think, hey, yeah, this will give us a chance, but the other teams are also improving around you as well. And the Packers made some moves signing Josh Jacobs, which was a huge, huge move for them. Really surprising a little bit, but definitely an upgrade. And they also signed a safety Xavier McKinney and a tight end Tyler Davis. Any thoughts on those moves, any of them?
Yeah, I mean, Josh Jacobs, I think, would be, is younger. be kind of an upgrade.
Led the league 2 years ago in rushing.
Yeah, it's just as well as with running backs, it's so hard to look at what a running back did even last year and say, you know, I like it by what he did last year, because they just hit a wall or they get wear and tear so quickly that, and that's why they don't make a lot of money. And it's unfortunate for them. They should almost have a union within the union, I guess. Because it's just, unless you're Christian McCaffrey, you know, you're not going to make that giant money, I don't think. I think it could be a good one. I think the Packers, as much as even when Rodgers was doing well, when they were running the ball, which they had a commitment to running the ball, that made them a lot better. And mm-hmm. Well, McKinney is a good player. You know, it's strange to see the Packers involved in free agency at all. You know, they've just had such a long history of not really doing much if anything. So
maybe they get out from under some of that Aaron Rodgers, and they can.
Well, that's the thing. You know, that last year we think it was $40 million dead money up for Aaron Rodgers. Now they're out from underneath that. They're happy about their quarterback, which made he turned on a dime from that game that we saw where the Vikings made him look like a high school player. After that, you know, what he did all the way up through, you know, pretty much even into that playoff loss, was impressive.
Yeah, it is. The Lions are trading for Bucks cornerback Carlton Davis. I don't even know about him. The only guy, only secondary man I always think of is Antoine Winfield. Winfield kid down there that the Bucks have, but I believe they're keeping him. But you know anything about this guy, Carlton Davis?
Yeah, I mean, he's a quality cornerback. He was on their Super Bowl team. He was one of the younger guys that was, you know, definitely a guy to watch. And you know, I think the Lions need to work on that pass defense. Mm-hmm. One shoe that could fall, you know, could be Danielle Hunter, you know, as a bookend pass rusher. I would not be surprised if that's the case, you know.
That would hurt.
Help that, the back end of that defense if you had Hutchinson and Danielle on rushing the passer.
Right. The Bears signed running back DeAndre Swift, former Lion, former Eagles last year, but the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley, so they didn't need Swift. So that's a nice pickup for the Bears. But
I like that. And again, it's hard to talk about running backs like Barkley. I just don't get excited. I guess my feeling is like, I know Barkley's had some healthy years, but it just feels like it's almost like about a running back who's had injury problems has a year. Or turns it around, you're just thinking, is the other shoe going to fall on the injuries? But
right,
we'll see. I do like DeAndre Swift. I liked him in Detroit, and he's now going to be in Chicago.
Well, by the time we get this thing finished, it's noon here on Tuesday, and by the time we get it posted, it'll probably already be obsolete. So. Making's making more moves, but that'll do it for this week. Plenty of news there. You got to stay tuned here. If something major breaks for the Vikings, maybe we'll do an emergency one. But Mark, thanks. Appreciate it. Mike Woldham, producer, thank you. Joe Johnson, thanks as always. And thanks to everybody for tuning in and checking it out. Stuff's happening with the Vikings, so stay tuned here. And come on back next week when we do it again. Until then, skol.
Skol.